Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Sanctuary of Human Life Month. Since the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, over 63 million babies have been killed here in the United States. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, too many Americans think the fight is over. It is long from being over, as evidenced by the many fights that are going on state by state. Some wins, some loses for the pro-life movement. But how many fully understand what abortion is? My guest today is Mark Harrington. He's the president and founder of Columbus, Ohio-based Created Equal. Thanks, Mark, for being with us.
It's great to be here.
We can place a lot of the blame on Planned Parenthood as far as the dissemination of propaganda and misinformation, disinformation. I mean, the left always uses that, blaming us on misinformation and disinformation, where it really is almost always on their side. So, you know, Planned Parenthood and others like them explain abortion as being, well, We're just getting rid of a few cells that are in the woman's womb, and it's part of her, and, you know, she has a right to make a decision what she does with her own body. You know, my body, my choice. Your website says that 2,300 babies are killed through abortion every single day. So what is abortion? Is it just getting rid of a clump of cells?
No, it's interesting. Those who say that they are for science are the science deniers, actually.
Yeah.
They're the ones who will say, you know, we have climate change and all these other things. But when it comes to the unborn and whether life begins at conception, which is an undeniable truth that every single embryologist, a biologist would say life begins at fertilization, they'll deny that and say, no, that's not a human life until somewhere down the road, sometime later.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones that are the science deniers, not us. We have science on our side. But also we have all the visual evidence now with the ultrasounds that are just out there. Everybody's seen them, of course. If you've ever had a child or part of a child being born, these are on everybody's, you know, their mm-hmm. refrigerators. And,
right.
You know, they're ubiquitous. So the idea that we don't know the human life begins at conception or fertilization is just not accurate. Now, they may see that point, but then they'll go on to say that they're not a person yet. And they usually point to something such as sentience, which is where the unborn is able to have thought, if you will. So they'll point to these arbitrary markers and say that's where they would say that we would allow for legal protections. But they're arbitrary. We all know science is on our side, and life begins at conception, but proving that to most people requires visual evidence, and that's what Created Equal does.
Great, absolutely. Yeah, just recently there was an Alabama Supreme Court decision that even mm-hmm. said those embryos, I guess should be embryos, who are created yes. through in vitro fertilization are persons. You know, they deserve legal protection, and the left is going
children,
absolutely
yeah.
crazy over that. It's amazing that we have Alabama, you know, the one of 50 states that has reached that conclusion. But as you're saying, the evidence is there. I mean, you think of Bernard Nathanson, who I forget how many thousands of babies he aborted. But once he saw that baby being aborted, saw the ultrasound of the action of abortion, he had a, mm-hmm. you know, he saw the light. As you're saying, with the science we have now, there's no doubt, no question for those who want to see the truth. There's no question where life begins. You said that some of them don't want to say a baby is a person until they can think. They have thought processes. I'm thinking some of the folks who support abortion don't have thought processes as far as that goes. So because of the conclusions
yeah.
they come to. You have a lot of great stuff on your website, createdequal.org. When I look at the reasons women have an abortion, the reason that they give, what is the number one reason that most women give for why they want to have an abortion? It's not rape or incest or anything like that.
No,
which, you know, the politicians...
it's simply because they're not ready. They would say they're not ready to be a parent or be a mother. It's inconvenient.
Yeah.
It gets in the way of their pursuits, whether they're in college, want to get a degree, they have a career, they don't want a baby right now. They're not, you know, they're just feeling not prepared to be able to be a parent. That's usually it. For the most part, that's the vast majority of the reasons why they give for having abortion.
Yeah. And I think that the stats on your site, the website, were like half a percentage point, I believe, of women said it's because they were raped, in the same stat for incest. Almost every law now, there have been changes, thankfully, since Roe v. Wade was overturned, but almost every law has an exception in the case of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. But a lot of people don't realize that on the same day that Roe v. Wade decision was handed down by the Supreme Court, there was also the, I think it was, if I get this right, Doe v. Bolton, which defined life of the mother.
A lot of abortion.
Yeah, right, right.
And a lot of abortions in second and third trimester for the health of the mother.
Right, and the definition of the gift for health of the mother is so wide-ranging that almost anyone could get an abortion because the mother could claim, well, it's my health, and I can't carry the baby to term. It's tragic. So, you know, we look at Planned Parenthood. They have their fingers in everything when it comes to pushing abortion. And in the schools, universities, and they're, of course, teaching kids that, you know, you can have sex, you can have safe sex, quote-unquote safe sex, and all you have to do is use a condom. What's the success rate of condom use?
I don't know exact numbers, but condoms fail, so do normal, you know, so-called birth control, the oral contraceptives. Mm-hmm. I mean, abortion is just another form of birth control.
Yeah.
It's just used when the traditional forms of birth control fail.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the backup plan, basically, and that's what we need to understand. I mean, America's been contracepting ever since 1965 when the U.S. Supreme Court handed down the decision that permitted birth control between consenting adults, married and a married couple, actually, in the Griswold versus Connecticut. So that really began it all, right? And that is separating sexual intercourse from procreation and parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're continuing on today with these reproductive technologies like our IVF. Children have become commodities, not human life, not children who should be raised properly. And so, I mean, that's what we're dealing with. We got a lot of work to do. We unfortunately just took a defeat here in Ohio on issue one, the ballot initiative that expanded abortion up to birth, but we're working hard in some of these other states to prevent this from happening in 2024.
And again, the pro-abortion folks were very active in spending bunches and bunches and bunches of money in Ohio to make sure that happened. And so few understood what they were really voting for, is my gut feeling. So few Ohioans understood what it meant.
There's a lot of takeaways. I've written an entire paper on this, Why Ohio Fell, an insider's look at the Ohio pro-abortion victory. One of those is that we were outspent, of course, but we're going to be outspent everywhere.
That's true.
Blood money. They have blood money. We don't.
Yeah.
We have sacrificial giving of pro-life Christians. And it's so, but we have to close the gap on the funding end of things. But they also lie very well, and they control all the institutions and levers of government for the most part. So
and control
we are
the
up
media.
Against it.
Yeah, and the media.
And they control the media. Yeah. So a lot of earned media that they didn't even have to pay for. And I think there's just a sentiment out there that the government needs to be kept out of the decisions that women make in their own bedrooms.
Mm.
And they beat that drum pretty well. And a lot of people just don't trust government today, and they'd rather stay out of these types of
things. Do you think a lot of that is the fact that over 90% of, especially young adults, well, actually, probably 90% of the nation has gone through public education. And, you know, and what they're being taught in their sex ed classes, again, is condom use, is, you know, it's, you know, we quote unquote safe sex and all that kind of stuff. We well know they don't work. Any kind of contraception always has a fail rate. As you're saying, though, abortion is the backup plan. I hadn't heard it put that way before, but that's an excellent description of what abortion is. As a backup plan. So you guys do justice rides. What are those justice rides?
Yeah, we're about ready to embark on our spring justice ride. That's once a year. We load up charter buses with young people. We take them to to college campuses in the campuses down in the state of Florida. It's our premier training program for youth. So we train them in the classroom and we take them out onto the college campus and put them in front of people that disagree with them and teach them how to argue the case for life. And so it's really one of the best programs because it's not just classroom knowledge. Obviously, we need to learn in the classroom. We need to learn pro-life apologetics. But if you don't apply it,
right,
what's the point? Mm-hmm. And also people learn by applying what they've learned. So this is kind of on-the-job training. We do it once a year. And we're about ready to leave on Friday. We'll be heading to Florida to go to several college campuses.
Yeah. Is that during spring break?
It is for us, not for them.
Okay. How is the response? I mean, do you have an overwhelming response for the young kids? And define young, what age group?
We're looking at, upperclassmen in high school and college. So typically 16 years to 24 years old. These are the ones that we train, and part of our goal is to get them to work full-time in the pro-life movement because we have to reach the next generation.
Absolutely.
One of the things that came out of Ohio is that the 18 to 29-year-olds, that is what we call Gen Z, overwhelmingly, almost 8 out of 10 voted yes on issue one here.
Wow.
And the numbers are, 70% of millennials voted yes. So we're losing the next generation, which does not bode well for the future of the pro-life movement. We've got to reach the next generation and train them up. And if we don't, we're in dire straits.
Yeah. I think that goes across the board as far as I think we're in dire straits for the entire country if we don't re-educate, the young people in this country to what this nation was founded upon, et cetera, et cetera. But, it's troubling that the fact that Planned Parenthood and those who are pushing, quote-unquote, safe sex have ready access to school classrooms, and kids are being indoctrinated mm-hmm. with, a woman's, it's her body, her choice. I mean, that's such a, has a ringing tone to it when someone says that, but they're not looking at the fact that it's an individual that pregnant woman is carrying. And they themselves, if you say a 16-year-old, take them back, 16 and a half years, they were the ones who were inside their mother's womb. And they have to connect the dots with that. But I totally agree, have to re-educate the young people. So what kind of response do you get each year as far as, is there a waiting list to be part of the Justice Ride?
Well, not normally. We're good to, for next year, it's open enrollment.
Okay.
You can go to justiceride.org. That's justiceride.org. We keep the fee very low in order to make, we don't want money to be a problem. So we're opening the enrollment now for next year. A lot of our riders will return. Mm-hmm. But, you ask what the reaction is. I mean, you can imagine a college campus is dominated by the pro-abortion view. So we are a minority voice, but we're a strong minority voice because we use abortion victim photography and video to make our point because people need to see what abortion is to understand it.
Yeah.
So it's a very strong message. We often get a very strong response by the pro-abortion people on campus, but we're also getting people to change their minds on abortion. And honestly, we need to be reaching them sooner than college because by the time they get to college, they're already generally sexually active and they've already kind of rationalized what they would do if they got pregnant.
Yeah.
You got to reach them before they become sexually active, and that's in middle school and high schools. And that's why we go to those schools as well.
Okay. Are you invited in by the public school administration when it comes to high school?
No.
Okay.
No, we go to the sidewalks.
Sidewalks, okay. But I totally.
We do it when the buses arrive and when they depart each day.
And what kind of, when it comes to the college students who have it very much pro-abortion, they're ingrained with the pro-abortion concept. What is the response when you go to a middle or a high school and you have those pictures?
Much, much more open-minded than they are in college.
Okay, wow.
Because they haven't been jaded by all the pro-abortion propaganda yet. And they're not sexually active. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Not all. I mean, some are. But
right. Some are because.
Not at the numbers they are in college.
Yeah. Because, let's face it, the sex ed is really pushing. Sex ed in high school, middle and high school, is really pushing sexual activity because Planned Parenthood wants that. They want those customers coming in to get an abortion is what they want. And they're targeting younger and younger kids with quote unquote safe sex mantra, which doesn't work, as we've mentioned. What kind of response do you get from churches when when they find out that you show graphic pictures of aborted babies? And I read, on your website, I read a description, and people need to read. People need to go to your website and read the description of an abortion. It's just terrible. But how have churches responded when they find out that you show aborted babies on the public side?
Yeah, that's another problem. We found out in issue one here in Ohio that 25% of white evangelicals voted yes on issue one, that is to expand abortion up to birth, and 48% of Catholics did as well. And that's a failure of the leadership of the church, both Catholic and Protestant, to teach their congregations about abortion. And the reason they don't do this is because they're afraid of the backlash they're going to get from people in the church who have had abortion. And a good friend of mine once said that the reason why pastors or priests don't preach on abortion is typically two reasons. One is they either don't think abortion is that bad, or they don't believe the gospel is that good. Oh, and what wow. they mean by that is they emphasize the importance of what abortion does. Mm-hmm. It dismembers a human being. And they allow women and men who are post-abortive to live in the shadows of their churches because abortion is never addressed. Therefore, they think it's this unforgivable sin. Mm. And therefore, they reckon to the conclusion that the gospel is not applied to the abortion issue. And so what happens is you have this vicious cycle where pastors don't preach on it. That means that women live in darkness, and Christians, Catholic and Protestant, are having abortions.
Yeah.
And so we've got a big problem on our hands here, and this isn't new. We've had this for over a generation.
Mm-hmm. And, with churches and pastors allowing women to live in dark, women who have had abortion living in darkness, they're living with their guilt. And right. the gospel is more than sufficient to forgive her for okay. having that abortion. And it's unfair treatment on the part of the church and the pastors who do not address abortion. So would you say God is pro-life?
No, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
The Bible's full of scripture. I mean, if you just look at the sixth commandments, is thou shalt not shed innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. And that's a murder, and abortion right. is murder. We can prove it kills a human being.
Yeah.
There's all types of other scriptures that, we were formed in our mother's mm-hmm. womb. We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yep.
David talked about that. There's a host of scriptures that talk about how God is pro-life. He created us in his image, and therefore shedding innocent blood is prohibited.
So the church is failing to get involved in ministries like yours in too many cases. I won't say all churches are doing that, but too many churches are failing to get involved in ministries like yours. Too many churches are afraid to address abortion, period. And too many churches are afraid to get involved in anything as far as that goes when they consider it quote-unquote political, which this is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. And churches need to, and pastors need to come to that realization that they need to speak up. And I place a lot of the blame as far as where the country is now. I place a lot of the blame on the silence from the churches, and they need to wake up. You're going to Florida. Do you do a lot of going to middle and high schools and mostly the Ohio area?
Yeah, routinely. We go to all the large colleges here in the state of Ohio. A lot of high schools. So
okay,
regularly each week we send teams out to do that.
Yeah. Wow, each week. Wow, fantastic. So they're getting the mm-hmm. message. Yeah. Back yes. to the churches. Do they really object to, I know I've seen the reactions of some people, some videos of, I don't think it was your, other organizations also use the pictures of aborted babies. And there have been very, very negative responses to those who view the pictures, view the truth of what abortion is. Are churches afraid to get involved because of the graphic pictures, do you think? Or just period, they don't want to get involved in the quote-unquote abortion?
No, I just don't think they want to get involved
okay.
in abortion
okay.
because it's controversial
okay.
and pastors are trained to be risk-averse. They're yeah. afraid of losing congregants and having their their contributions dry up.
Mm, yeah.
That's
yeah.
maybe it.
That plays a role, I do believe. So give us your website. The two websites. Your regular website.
Created equal.org, main website, and for the Justice Ride, it's justiceride.org. If anybody's interested in sending their young person, they're, like I say, 16 to 24 years old, upperclassmen in high school or college, it is the premier training program in the entire United States. You cannot get a better training program than this, because it not only gives you solid apologetics training, but it puts you in a position where you have to defend what you've learned. And that's how we win. I mean, yeah. We've got to change hearts and minds one-on-one.
Absolutely.
And we're failing to do that right now.
Yeah.
And got a lot of work to do if we're going to turn this around.
Yeah, we totally do. Roe v. Wade is gone, yes, but the issue is still very much alive. Thanks so much, Mark. And you guys be safe traveling down to Florida, and be safe in Florida and safe on the way back up north.
All right. Well, yep. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you take care.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.